of the committee, hopefully, as much as it is going to be short, it's going to be fruitful to the members of this committee. Which word? The fruitfulness. Okay. Members, we are having a very big task in front of us. Last week in our meeting, we have asked three members of the committee to go to Mr. Frolic's office or to seek the attention of Mr. Frolic on issues that we think are very important to us as a committee, so as to take the inquiry forward. We are going to discuss that, or we are going to give the feedback from the office of Mr. Frolic today. But before we give that, I want us to look at the program of Parliament and also discuss the program of Parliament, because it looked like it's not giving us enough time, but you can look at the program. If you've got the program in front of you, does everybody have a copy of the program? Not everybody, ne? But if we will discuss that, I just want to welcome everybody in the meeting. Do we have any apologies? Not for today. We don't have apologies today. Item number three, I don't want to start with item number three, the report back. I want us to get to the program. You don't have it in your email. You don't. But let me speak on it, even if we don't have a copy of the program. The program of Parliament is really making my life, maybe yours would be much easier than mine, my life more difficult. Because as I'm looking at the program of Parliament, next week Parliament is not expected to have any committee meeting, because there's a woman thing that is happening next week. Then the week thereafter, there are 2 weeks thereafter that for committees to meet. I think in one of the weeks there will be no sittings. There will be only committee weeks. But we then have a 3 weeks or 2 weeks of a constituency period and a recess. And after that, if you look again at the parliamentary program, there is another 2 or 3 weeks that we will have interacting with the parliamentary program, and thereafter we will be closing. We have a short period in working as a committee. So whatever we are going to do, we must make it a point that we do it effectively. There is BRRR that is coming that the committee has to focus on also. There are annual reports that we need to look at. There is this inquiry that is in front of us. With all the weeks that we are not going to be here in Parliament and all the weeks that we have, the little time that we have in Parliament, we still have those programs that we need to look at. The annual reports of the, starting with the department, and then the annual reports of the entities after that, and then also the BRRR. We are going to debate the BRRR. There will be a period on debating on the BRRR also. So there is a lot that is coming our way, but we still have this inquiry to look at, which I think it is very important for us to look at. We can't fail the country. I am not sure if there is anyone who wants to speak on the issue of the program, so that I give Honorable Swart raised her hand and his hand. Honorable Gongumele, Mazoni, Tedi, Luyenge, and Honorable Singh. In that order. Honorable Swati.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the introduction. The frustration, I think Mr. Singh indicated at our last meeting, was some months have passed already and we haven't been able to start the inquiry due to various issues that are not necessarily our fault. So I am, and I appreciate the fact that we have certain, as the Parliament, we've got certain commitments to the parliamentary program, the BBR report, the annual reports, that's very important. But what we might need to consider is asking special permission to sit outside the normal parliamentary program hours. For example, if necessary in the constituency period, if necessary even in December, just in view of the fact of the high public attention given to this matter and the fact that in general inquiries don't seem to be starting if one considers the Commission of Inquiry itself, if one considers criminal investigation. So there's a lot of attention on this, as you've already indicated. So I would like us to try and start as quickly as possible, and if necessary, as we did with the SABC ad hoc committee, we got special permission to sit, and it obviously depends on the availability of witnesses and things like that over those periods, but I think one can apply to Parliament for special permission to sit outside normal hours. I'm sitting on various committees. I'm prepared to commit to work as hard as I can on this issue. So it's a suggestion for us to consider. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, he's still right. We've got different titles, other comrades, other Mr. other honorables. You see that, Chair? The proposal I want to make when we deal with challenging projects of this nature is not to spend our time discussing problems. It's to spend our time making proposals. My criticism to the staff is that they are supposed to have sat with you, having analyzed the problems in the manner you have done, and say, here are the options, so that we discuss how then do we navigate with the proposed options. It's difficult in a meeting like this to say what proposals can work because we don't know all the logistics. But if they were to sit before they come to you, take into account all these things that you're saying, and articulate possibilities, take into account what Honorable Swart has said, would be dealing with the proposed options now, and then adopt an approach. My request is that is what they should urgently do. If it means the committee coming back in 2 or 1 day to look at that, to me that's better. It's always difficult to discuss calendars and everything in a meeting like this. So my proposal is that about the sun, mabavuke. They must just wake up. They must just do their work. Ours is political leadership. Theirs is to advise on possibilities of logistics. That's my proposal. I'm supporting everything that Honorable Swart has said, but it makes sense when the technical people, having analyzed all the logistics, assist on options. That's my proposal.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've long been saying, and you know this, it's been my cry since the first meeting ever, that this committee should sit twice a week. It's a committee of such a nature that we simply don't meet enough. So there comes a time that we don't have enough time to get through our work. We should be one of those committees that sits on a Tuesday and a Wednesday at the very least, and when needed, we sit on a Friday as well. Chair, we mustn't forget that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are parliamentary working days, and we must utilise this in our calendar, and we must stop this notion that we meet on Wednesdays, and Wednesdays are the days that public enterprises meet. That notion has to go out the window straight away. It hasn't worked, and it's not going to work going forward. Chair, I would suggest that you do a little bit of the feedback from our meeting with Honourable Frolic, because, and I'm not going to preempt what you're going to say, but we got an undertaking from Parliament that anything we needed, Parliament would do their level best to get it for us as quickly and as fully as possible. So we have that undertaking from Parliament. Let's strike while the iron's hot. And while we have that undertaking fresh in our minds, let's start programming
sitting Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And as Honourable Swart said, if we need to come in more, I mean, this is of national importance. This is something the whole country needs answers to. And Chair, if one looks at what's going on just today, it's quite obvious that there's elements at work that are trying to dispose of assets in this country to avoid coming to this investigation. Let's just be blatantly honest. It's the elephant in the room, and we must approach it as such. So before people are leaving this country, before they can appear before this committee, we must make sure that this committee starts its work in earnest.
Chair, I think you are right, as the honourable members have indicated, that really we should have moved far by now in terms of the work that is before us. But obviously, I don't have a problem in us if we were to rearrange the program. But obviously, consideration will have to be made for some of us who don't only serve in this committee. I don't want to speak on behalf of other members. We are as well faced with more or less the same issues in other committees, in our portfolio committee on communications. So if we were to rearrange the program, these are some of the considerations that the committee will have to look at very seriously. But I agree with those who are saying this issue is long overdue. We need to find a way of moving with speed in terms of the program that is before us. I don't have a problem in us rearranging the program, but those considerations will have to be looked at very, very closely as well. Thanks.
Yeah. Now, Chairperson, without re-emphasizing more on the importance of us prioritizing this particular inquiry, and also, Chair, there is enough and sufficient consensus amongst all of us that we make this our priority. This is one of the most important aspects where we are geared to unearth, to expose the rot that exists in our governance. And it cannot be made by individuals. And then now they are contemplating to leave before they come here. We must prioritize even calling those that we feel they might leave. We must do that, as a chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Is it my turn? Chairperson, I know you raised the question of the program with very good intentions, but I don't think we must create a perception that we are looking for reasons not to start and not to get this the show on the road, because we don't want the public to think that, well, now we're looking for money for Parliament, now we don't know about the program and how much time we're going to have and not going to have, as a way of trying to put this behind us or behind the public. But Chairperson, I would have preferred, as Honourable Mazzoni said, that we talk about program after receiving a report of what happened yesterday, because that, to a large extent, is going to inform our program. The kind of support that we are going to get is going to inform our program. And my suggestion is we don't have to wait for a meeting to come up with a draft program. You can have two or three people from around here sit with your evidence leader. Once that evidence leader is appointed, that person will need 2 weeks or 3 weeks to familiarize himself or herself with all the issues. And then we come up with a draft program and then present it to the committee, even if it means by email, and we get on with the work. I don't think we have to wait weekly to do it. And Chair, just for information, I mean, the other ad hoc committee that I'm sitting on, which is sitting now on party funding, we're sitting now until 1, and then from 7 o'clock tonight till, I don't know when, maybe tomorrow morning. But that's the kind of commitment we have to make to this particular mission that we have to complete. Thank you, Chair.
Perhaps we should add an item after item 3 on the matter that Honourable Mazzoni and others have raised, which is what we're reading in the news about the disposal of assets. by certain companies that are implicated in matters that we are due to give consideration, then we can address that specifically and link that to the program issue. So may I make that suggestion and ask my colleagues to support me that we can come back to that matter.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for your input on this issue, and thank you for opening opening more advices to me. I'm just an acting chairperson. I might do other things correctly, others I might do them wrong. But with the help of the committee members, I think there is nothing that can fail us. Our third item on the agenda, because this item that we have just spoken about was not in the agenda. The report back. the three multi-party delegation went to see Honorable Frolic yesterday, because he gave us the date of yesterday after our meeting, after the letter he received on Wednesday last week, because we wrote the letter immediately after the meeting and we dispatched it to his office for his attention. He then said he will consider the matters that we have put in front of him. They will take it forward, because in the meeting he came with the Secretary to Parliament, Mr. Xhaso, to listen to what we want to say to him. He actually agreed on the process that we want to take. He agreed on the resources that we want as the committee, but it is the time that they will take that we do not know for them to give us the resources that we asked for. I met him yesterday afternoon, and he said, just in the corridors, and he said probably by today the letter will be sent to us, but I did not receive the letter yet from him that says which resources are available, when are they going to give us the resources, and at what time will we be able to start the inquiry, because we depend on those resources to start with the inquiry, because the evidence leader that we are looking for might take 2 weeks to get to know the information that is in our domain. And also the issue of Mr. Vanara, they raised the issue of Mr. because we specifically were looking for Mr. Vanara because of his experiences, because Mr. Vanara was dealing with the ad hoc committee as an evidence leader. As much as he said the Parliament has never employed an evidence leader, there's nobody like an evidence leader who is being employed in Parliament. We agree that we know that there's no one like an evidence leader employed in Parliament, but he will be looking for an evidence leader that will help us, or a legal person who will help us in leading the evidence in the committee. In essence, he could see the reasoning behind the request that we have made as this committee. I was with Mr. Singh and Ms. Mazoni. If there is anything that I've left out, a specific thing that I have left out, I will give over to them to help me in reporting back to the committee.
Thank you. Yes, I think in summary, what the Chair said is absolutely correct. There was certainly an indication by the Acting Secretary of Parliament and by Honourable Frolic that they understood the frustration that we were experiencing, they understood the urgency of the matter. I think that we explained our case for Advocate Vanara in a very straightforward manner. We also explained that we see no reason for Parliament to have to worry about spending money. That's why we have all these people that work for Parliament that should be at our committee disposal. I think we indicated the fact that there is this feeling that these state capture inquiries are being purposefully delayed. Mr. Frolic, Honourable Frolic, insisted that this certainly wasn't the case and undertook to us to come back to us as a matter of urgency. I specifically raised the issue of Advocate Venara because I thought he did sterling work in the SABC case, and he has the experience in leading evidence and collating that evidence, as we will need in this committee. It was explained to me that Advocate Venara is now working on members' interests and dealing with members that haven't complied with the members' interest section. I did, however, insist that Parliament should look at using their resources in a more appropriate fashion, and in a case like this, redeploying Advocate Venara to where he could really be of use to Parliament. But Chair, I think that the meeting was positive. We certainly didn't leave on a negative note, but I think certainly Honourable Frolic and the Acting Secretary understood the urgency with which we need to start this inquiry.
Chair, thank you very much. Just to add, we raised the issue, well, Honourable Frolic raised the issue of whether or not some or other committee could also come together and work on this, like mineral resources, etc. And then we said to him that he is chairman of committees, it's his responsibility to convene a meeting of appropriate chairs and see to what extent there is any common ground that we can find. So if Scopa needs to sit with us, well, so be it. But let those chairs and him sit together and find out where the intersection comes in. So that's something they're going to do. But the other issue we raised was the question of outside assistance, because our acting chairperson did say to Honourable Frolic that there were people that were writing in. And I did mention to him that in the Ad Hoc Committee on Party Funding, Professor Cheadle from the University of Cape Town is providing his services free of charge after the committee considered the request for them to assist and also went through the office of the speaker. So to that extent, Chairperson, last night when I was going through News 24, thank you very much, News 24, I noted that Professor Max Dupria is making an offer to Parliament. We'll fund investigations. And I think this is something that we need to consider as well as a committee and take through. Sorry.
Honourable members, you are disturbing Honourable Singh. No, but you don't get excited and disturb the Honourable member while speaking.
Thank you for the protection, Chairperson. And then just briefly, just two paragraphs. He says, I have an offer to make to Parliament. If you really don't have money to properly investigate state capture, I will help get it for you through crowdfunding. Would 2 million be enough? 3 million? I will go one step further and persuade investigative journalists and other researchers working on the Guptas and their role in the state and with state-owned companies to give you a full briefing on their research and accompanying documents. I don't think we should take this very lightly, Chairperson. I've asked my Chief of Staff, Advocate Mitchell, in my office to write to him so that he could formally, you know, write to us as a committee and say, well, this is what I'm prepared to offer your committee. Because that's the kind of assistance that we'll probably require moving forward, but with the concurrence of the Speaker's office. So I want to table this as well as something arising out of yesterday's discussions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is the report back that we get on and the additional information that we get from Honourable Singh, Honourable Shivambo, and then Honourable Ngubeni.
No, thanks, Chair. I thought that the resolution of the committee was that he must go and meet with the speaker. That is what the minutes say. And that is what the agenda says, that report back of task team on meeting with the officer of the speaker. I thought that they were going to meet with the speaker. Because if he met with Frolic, it means that Frolic is still going to consult the speaker. The speaker can take decisions immediately on these issues. I thought that is what we had agreed should happen, that you must go and meet with the speaker. And I thought that the mandate was that, one, we should then request for full support with the evidence leader, preferably an internal evidence leader for this particular inquest. If there is no internal evidence leader available, we must then request the speaker's office to give us
a permission to source outside assistance paid for by Parliament. The issue of whether, if there's no money, then we can maybe discuss what Honorable Singh is raising now, which is not an ideal approach to take. We should have an objective process to say, let us get an external evidence leader if the internal ones are not available or they are not there at all. So that is what was requested to be helped with. So I do not know what is the assistance, because we have not met the speaker. Let's ask the speaker to be available. Like, I don't know why there should be a long process to reach the speaker. Like, we must be able to have access to the speaker. We are operating in the same environment, and she should be available to provide assistance to this particular process. I don't think that we can have difficulties. So let's get the attention of the speaker in terms of what should happen, so that we are able to take final decision. If she can't have the time for a physical meeting, perhaps let's write to her to say this is what we request from the speaker, and then she must respond in writing. I don't think that will take even more than 2 days for her to respond, that I will provide the necessary assistance maximally, or we do not have resources. And then if she says that there's no resources to provide to this committee to conduct the inquest into ESCOM, DNEL, and Transnet, that must be clarified, because I see the terms of reference have excluded DNEL and Transnet. If she says that there is no resources, then we can explore what other mechanism do we do. Do we allow for civil society or interested parties to come and approach us and in terms of the level of assistance that they can provide for the inquest into the financial stability, procurement, and governance of ESCOM, Transnet, and DNEL. That is what we've agreed in the previous meeting. I think that is how we should look into it. Let's get the attention of the speaker, and we know where she stands, so that we're able to take a resolution on how we proceed. It will actually have a direct impact on the programming which we spoke about first, of when do we meet and what is the frequency of the meeting. Do we meet during the recess period and all of those things? That will be dependent on the extent and degree of assistance that we're going to get from the speaker's office. So we need to get the answer about that. So there's no report on what we mandated the three committee members to do. We don't have a report, because the minutes say you must go and meet the speaker. You didn't meet the speaker, and we do not have a response in terms of what is required. Thank you.
Probably our delegates will explain the issue of how the approach was executed based on what Honorable Shivamba is saying on the minutes. But I take an approach with regard to that says, if the committee formally before never interacted with Frolic on this matter, take into account his role, I still want to argue it was not a wrong thing to interact with him, unless he really is not assisting. Now, that's the point I take in approach, because he's a chair of committees, because you also want to strike a good relationship with him. Because if we did not meet with him before, it's always useful for KTSC to manage that relationship between himself and the speaker. And I move from that point to say, respecting what the minutes say, I still believe the approach has not been a bad one, unless we don't get results from the approach that you've already taken. That's my take on that, but you will respond to the fair questions that Honorable Shivambo is raising. But what I want to say is that I believe in action. I guess all of us do. I think there's no longer a debate whether this inquiry was taking place or not. That's one point. Two, listening to your various inputs, in real terms, theoretically, in more credible terms, resources are no longer an issue. It's getting clear. even whatever source they will come from, resources are no longer an issue. Agency is also not in dispute. I'm just throwing all these things. I think the challenge we have now is to work as if resources we know are available. Come with a clear... What I'm trying to say, let's remove uncertainty around this program. So the sooner we have proposed program that is clear, I haven't taken into account all the factors that the chair has raised for us. If the meeting agrees with me, the proposal I want to make is that the scale of the work is of such a manner that I want to opportunistically take a view that the delegated team that worked with the chair in between in tightening the program for certainty, to me we would want disbanded to work with the chair so that we come with a clearer program. That's what I wanted to propose, if the committee so agrees. Because I think this is the scale of this work is very huge where I'm sitting. The point I'm making is that, to me, we need to strengthen capacity. Parties, how they want to approach the matter, will meet during the intervening period. Unless the committee has got a different view. My worry is that the clarity on this matter is critical. The capacity is critical. And I'm saying, let's move now to work on a clear program. If it means we meet urgently to consider that program, the better we do that. The uncertainty around this inquiry is not assisting anymore. And I'm saying, let's tighten our capacity, both administratively and what to call, and politically. And let's make sure that urgently we've got a clear program with regard to where we're going. But I'll respect a different view.
Chairperson, it is unfortunate that we are having all the reasons not to start the work, genuine and objective reasons that are coming up. Safe to say, Chair, in the eyes of the public, we are good as politicians to make pronouncements, but for us to take action is something else. So what is happening now, the little explanations, the prolonging in one way or the other of the process leading to the start, it's like us. But people say, we say, no, we knew them, that they would not start this thing as urgent as they say. I don't want to ask a chair to play into the hands of those who does not want this process to unfold. One, here the issue is not about availability of resources or not, but it is about the commitment of Parliament to expose state capture. The scholarly thinking and the scholarly statement made by this process, by this professor, to say if Parliament does not have money to investigate state capture, I will assist with whatever. It's a scholarly view. It's not just a view that we must be just excited when we are exposing our own institution. It's just like if you say you don't have money to take your child to a doctor, then a stranger will come and say, I will help you. You are rendering yourself as being useless. You are not supposed to be a parent. I fully concur with what Honorable Bushivambu is saying. To say in the first place there was no point of going to the chair of chairs. It is very clear the chair of chairs is the champion of all the committees. He knew, there is no doubt that he might have not been aware of this process. He was aware of it
from the beginning. That's a common cause. It's normal. There is no point of asking something that is given. Mathematically, for an answer that is already given, you cannot prove, because the reason is that it is already given. It's there, the chairperson was aware. Now, this is prolonging this when we have taken a decision that says, let us have this multi-party delegation to engage the presiding officer. There is no point of going to someone else who will take the matter forward. There was no point of taking the matter elsewhere. We wanted you to go to forward, straight to forward, not to start anywhere else. And then someone is going to take it forward. Because we'll have to wait. There is no other way. We'll have to wait, and we must be reasonable enough and say, we can't say now the speakership is aware of this, because it has not been taken to the attention of that leadership level in the institution. Then we'll say this thing is being delayed. But I'm not undermining the fact that it was not wrong for you to go to the chair of chairs. I'm saying it was not necessary. It was not wrong, but it was not necessary, because it prolonged the time. And seemingly now, our commitment is being doubted if we do not start. And you are our driver as chairperson, and I know the passion that you have around this. And we must assist you and say, when we say a matter must be dealt with by the speaker, it must be dealt with by the speaker in order to save time. We don't have time, both as individuals and as a group in the institution. We must not, there should be no truancy in what we are doing. We must not find any reason not to do this work, genuinely or not. We must not find a reason of not unearthing, of not exposing state capture before people leave us. Ngozi.
Chair, on a point of order, I'd like you to please come in, Chair, before you take other speakers, and explain exactly why this multi-party delegation had to go and speak to Honourable Frolic. Because we've now had two people flogging the same horse about why you didn't go directly to the speaker. So perhaps you need to explain to this committee that the speaker isn't in Parliament. So instead of just sitting around and waiting for her to come back, you actually took the initiative of going to Honourable Frolic, who is the chair of chairs and schedules everything for committees. So perhaps, Chair, if you give an explanation as to why you took the action you did, it will give clarity to everyone who's a bit confused as to why you took the action that you took.
Thanks, Honourable Maizona. I think that what you have said now, it just explains everything to the members who were not who were not aware what happened. Because Mr. Frolic, I can't jump Mr. Frolic according to parliamentary protocol. I cannot jump into the office of the speaker. As much as the minutes are saying we must write a letter to the speaker, if my memory serves me well, at the end of the meeting or towards the end of the meeting, it was clarified that we should go to Mr. Frolic. It was said in the meeting, even if it does not show in the minutes, but in the meeting, I am definitely sure it was said that we must go to the office of Mr. Frolic's office is a delegated office from the office of the speaker. Then it's the office that deals with the committees. And if that office fails us, then we can take it further to the speaker. I think we haven't done anything wrong going to the office of Mr. Frolic or to seek the attention of Mr. Frolic. That has been explained to, I think members understand now what has happened. Can I go to Honorable Kwangwa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will let the comrades who raised that concern deal with it. But I think I'm more from the United Democratic Movement's perspective. We're more interested on results. If going to Mr. Frolic is going to yield the desired results, then that's fine. But I think maybe what happened, the mistake you made, was that you did not explain upfront when you were giving the report your reasons for going to Mr. Frolic. So you are saying Mr. Froelich is going to write a letter or was supposed to send us a letter. Can we make sure that he does that? So that way we know where we stand as soon as possible. The second issue, Chairperson, has to do, I agree with Honorable Liyenge. You see from where I'm sitting, when South Africans want to help us, you know, especially with an inquiry of this nature, we get excited. And we can't tell them not to provide that help to us because this is their parliament ultimately. But we cannot allow a situation where parliament loses complete control over its own investigation, where we also portray parliament as a toothless institution that cannot even carry out its constitutional mandate. It means that as much as we are willing to accept that help from the members of the public, it needs to be guided. But ultimately what needs to happen is that parliament must avail resources for us to be able to do this inquiry. That is not negotiable, right? Or if Banengxaki basebayenze ngokwabo phaya eofisini, asuchitha ixesha thina. The third issue which I want to stress on very importantly, I think, Chairperson, whether we decide to meet before the end of this week or whenever, what we should have is the draft program together with the options that Honorable Gungubel was talking about, right? So that we have some guide. We have a guide that we're going to work on, even if we were to have or be allocated or given that evidence later. At least they understand exactly what our draft program is going to be going forward. We can always tweak it as we go along. Thank you. I have to rush to the Chief Whip's Forum. And I will end.
So just to take the process forward, we're expecting a letter today. And that letter will clearly indicate the undertaking has already been given that resources will be allocated to us. My preference is for Advocate Fanara. But it will depend on what the letter says. I don't accept the fact that he's been deployed somewhere else because when we did the ad hoc committee, he already had been deployed there. So I think it's, from our side, it's a wrong allocation of an experienced attorney. But anyway, there's that possibility. If he can't, again, to substantiate why he should do this, is because the precedent. The concern from Parliament is the precedent of having an outside person, and then other committees would have to ask. Here we would be sticking with the precedent created by the ad hoc committee. It's an internal person that would do it. But however, that decision will be taken either to be inside or outside person. As soon as we have that decision, it will take about 2 weeks for that person to be up to speed with what is required, and we can start. The next issue then is the program. The program, we need to block off time periods. Chair, may I respectfully suggest that we follow that we don't only sit. We cannot sit one day a week. We need to sit more days a week. We can get permission to sit even when the House sits. We can, and obviously dependent on the members. So we need to look at the program immediately to start working on this. We can block off periods like we did with the ad hoc committee. Yes, this committee has got other commitments as well. So that will be the program. But I think it is critical that we need to get started. The suggestion from Professor Max Dupria does, whilst it might be helpful, it does show that there is a building frustration amongst the public, that things are not moving. We are going to be resourced. We're going to do it. We can approach those journalists. We don't need another person to say they were going to approach the journalists. We can subpoena any person. So, Chair, briefly, that's from my perspective. Let's get going. Let's get moving. Thank you.
I agree, Honourable Chair. I think let's conclude on this matter. Because to me, the report that has been presented from Honourable Froelich, to me, it's positive. It assists us to take the process forward. As to whether you did know why it did not go straight to the Speaker, I think you managed by all means to try and clarify this particular matter. But the last issue that I need to come in, Chair, on is the issue that was raised by Honorable C in terms of other people who are ready to offer the necessary support to other interested parties. I appreciate the initiative, but it would be important as the committee to agree that going forward, let it be in a well-coordinated manner through your office so that whoever has got an interest in terms of providing whatever support, can we then direct that particular person to your office so that we have this thing in a well-coordinated manner. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to cross a couple of items.
items would hopefully build on what colleagues have been said, and I want to make 6 points. The first is, let's wait for that letter. In fact, Honorable Lawrence, we can call you Honorable as well, tried to get to Mr. Frolic's office to see if we can get the letter now. So let's wait for that answer, and if that doesn't work, we have the offer of outside resources, and I think we must be quite decisive, because there are lots of people who are willing to help in the context where the public, like ourselves, see this as a matter of national importance. The second point is we should have our urgency fueled by these successive disposals within 48 hours of South African assets. I'm getting SMSs which say the person or entity that is supposed to have bought the coal assets, which I hope you will discuss in a moment, is active in trade with fashion products, clothing articles, and shoes. What are they doing buying coal mines in Switzerland? Right? So there's something strange that seems to be going on. So that's the second, Chair, that there is an element of urgency. And the reason I say that, which is linked to the third point, is perhaps the subcommittee that you have around you should now craft a list of witnesses, at least the first five or six or seven. And the fourth point arising from that is that those witnesses should be sent letters, and where they within 48 hours indicate any resistance to appearing before the committee, then the subpoena process should be initiated as well. And law enforcement agencies brought into the picture should that actually be required as well. And then lastly, as many have suggested, look at the issue of schedule of meetings to fit in with that. So in sum, I'm saying there's greater urgency required. Let's talk about the resources as it unfolds over the next 48 hours. Look into this matter of disposal of assets, list of witnesses, and the first letters to go out in the next 24 hours to these witnesses.
Thank you, Honorable Members, for the suggestions that you have made. I think all of you are speaking in one voice that says this is very urgent. The road that that lies ahead of us is very long, and therefore we need to start it now. I agree on everything that you have said as members, and I see the urgency with that this inquiry needs. And I think also the parliamentary or the presiding officer are taking it as the way we have presented it to them. If the letter comes today, I will definitely inform all of you, and I will also, if the letter comes today, we will sit down and look at the program as per the suggestions that have been made by you, Honorable PG, and we will circulate it to every member so that you comment. If there is anything that needs our urgent attention, I please ask you members to avail yourself every time that you are being called. We might call you next week, as early as next week, even if we are not. We will ask for the even this week if it's possible. But it's Wednesday today. Even if it's possible to meet this week, we will make that time that we meet this week. Even if it's Friday. But I just want to make sure to make sure that everything that is going to happen from now, it will be communicated to the members for sure. Even the program, the draft program that we will send to you, you will be given time to comment on the draft program. The witnesses that we think will be the first witnesses, we will give them to you. We will communicate to you. And if you think that those witnesses are not really the first witnesses that can come to the committee you suggest,
which witnesses that you think would be the best to start the inquiry. I saw there are still hands that are coming up. No hands? Okay. Oh, thank you very much. There are minutes in front of us. I think we are done with item number 3. There are minutes in front of us that we need to consider. Yes, minutes of the 16th of August. You're not good in minutes. I know Mazone is good in minutes. You look at the resolutions of the committee.
Chair, move for the adoption of the minutes.
The adoption of minutes have been moved and the Honorable Luyenge is seconding.
Chair, was that last item not added that the Honorable Godan wanted added?
On the disposal of the assets, do you want to say something on it? Do you want us to discuss it?
Chair, thank you. And thank you, Honorable Godan. I think, Chair, it's incredibly worrying that there is a sort of mass disposal of assets taking place by one of the families, and let's just be honest, we're in committee. The Gupta family has started disposing of their assets within the country. Now, they are perfectly entitled to do with their assets as they like. However, Chair, this does indicate when a family starts disposing of assets in a country that they have an intention to perhaps leave the country. Chair, with that in mind, I think it has become absolutely empirical that we must now, as a committee, when we start our investigation, make sure that the Gupta witnesses, who form part of our list of the 27 witnesses, are called in as one of the first witnesses. Chair, and I think we need to also perhaps have a meeting with the Department of Public Enterprises sooner rather than later to look at what kind of roll-on effect the disposal of these assets is having, if any, tongue-in-cheek, on our state-owned entities, because we don't need extra damage happening to already damaged state-owned entities.
Building on that, Chair, the first concern would be all of the information that's in the public domain, in the outer documents that were presented to us, in the report on state capture and so on, which indicates that, let's put it this way, special favors were done by the management of Eskom, in particular the CFO, but possibly the board as well, in order for that particular mine or set of mines to be purchased by the Gupta family, or let's call it Oak Bay, which is the entity involved here. Secondly, if it is proven that, and I'm sure it is possible to be proven, that state resources were actually utilized to benefit the purchase of and facilitate the purchase of these mines by Oak Bay, then as Parliament and as guardians of the fiscus, we have to ask questions about this disposal. It's not just some ordinary citizen or company buying and selling something. These are all entities and transactions implicated in state capture. So, thirdly, if the Department of Public Enterprises then comes into the picture, as Honorable Mazzoni pointed out, what control do they have over these sorts of transactions? And remember that the narrative given by the previous CEO of Eskom was that the previous owners of Optimum were, inverted commas, charging excessive prices for coal supply. So now this is supposed to be part of protecting 7,500 employees, safeguarding the supplies to Eskom, all of which are narratives that are ones that one should be, in fact, highly skeptical about. But the last point is that a lot has been said in the last few years by both ministers responsible for Eskom and Eskom itself about black economic empowerment. So why is this mine being sold to a foreign entity? Why not to a South African black business person or entity? So what's going on here? And then in a context where there are suspicions of racketeering, money laundering, etc., I think that as a Public Enterprises Committee, we should be very concerned about the implications for the finances of Eskom on the one hand, but also coal suppliers that might or might not be disrupted as a result as well. And is all of this a sleight of hand to actually confuse the public, continue with this narrative that we are, or this particular company is a benefactor for workers in South Africa, when in fact it isn't. And we should be raising some serious questions here, and with some great urgency.
I move from an assumption that the continuation of a political subcommittee is accepted in assisting in planning, because I think there's a lot of work. And feel free to make use of any members in that subcommittee. Honorable Gordon, you can call for assistance. I think we need to strengthen our capacity in planning this. So I assume that proposal is accepted. But I just wanted to say, one of the urgent things that must be investigated are the rights of Parliament, which is intending to do this inquiry with regard to the developments that Honorable Gordon has actually spoken about. If there's a move to have an inquiry of this nature, and there are those developments, what rights does Parliament have with regard to precautionary interventions, if that exists? What I'm trying to say, let's find every option to undermine clandestine objectives. That's all I'm saying.
No, thanks, Chair. Do you know I don't think the Guptas are selling those assets. They're just restructuring. They're just hiding them. They're just restructuring so that they can have bank accounts, because all financial institutions have disassociated themselves from them. So they're trying to survive out of the whole thing. But I think, though, that there's adequate paper trail to track them. However long it takes, we're going to get them. I'm not worried at all. I'm sure that at the end of this process, we're going to be able to reclaim even those monies that were paid to 3 million by Eskom. We'll get it back. Everyone must be rest assured that at the end of this process, that money is going to come back, and people will end up in prison. There's this adequate paper trail thus far. If South Africa's constitutional democracy and the criminal justice system is still existing, if those are still existing, we're going to get the money back and people are going to end up in prison. I don't think that we should. Let's go through this process, and because the monies have been transferred to their accounts, Eskom helped them to buy together mines, and all sorts of illegal things have happened. I'm sure we'll be able to track everything else there. If New Age and that illegal TV station was financed by money laundered money, we're going to get the money back. We'll close down all those things later on. So I don't think that we should panic. I think that let's go through a thorough process. We'll get them. They will run. They won't hide. The world is very small these days. We'll get them wherever they go. We'll get them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Luyen.
Chairperson, I think I'm a bit covered to the issue that relates to the current development around the Gupta families, the family now. Because I were to check if
it is possible for the committee or parliament to solicit a legal opinion as to what will be the legal and the best constitutional method that we can use in order that whatever developments like the ones that are in front of us will not be legally, will not be legally binding to those persons. It's like someone who has bought or keeping a stolen property. So I just wanted to check, what is it that we can use? What method can we use, a legal one? Or also to inform those people to deal with suspects, you know, it's allegations for now. But we must inform our people, we must inform communities as to deal with this kind of activities. It is tantamount to a kind of, a criminal kind of, yeah. But I think I'm a bit covered to around what Honorable Shivambu is saying, to say even all those that have not necessarily...
Honorable Mondli, you are disturbing me. I'm listening to the speaker,
yeah.
And you are walking just in front of him.
So maybe the question here that I have is that, can we solicit a legal opinion around this so that we are safe? We must not be treated as if we are blind. People who just take responsibility in the name of protecting this particular family. Tomorrow it will be me going there. I'm taking this, I'm the one. Is that not frantic?
Members, I think Honorable Mazone,
Chair, I just want to explain what my panic is. Chair, we've had Al Bashir in our country, who left the country. We've had Grace Mugabe in our country, who left the country. And Chair, as far as I know, we don't have an extradition treaty with the United Arab Emirates. So they leave South African soil, the Gupta family. You tell me how we're going to get them back here. Because if, well, we have people in our country, we let them go, what happens when they're already over there and won't come back? That's why I'm panicking.
Chair, there's enough evidence in the public domain. If you start with the public protector's report on state capture, there's prima facie evidence there that has not been challenged in any review application. That evidence was referred to the Hawks by the public protector and the NPA. Almost a year later, it has not been acted upon. Now, the very straight answer to the questions requesting a legal opinion is there is already enough evidence to apply as the NPA and the asset forfeiture unit in the NPA can do. They can freeze bank accounts already on suspicions. Maybe there isn't the will to do that, but and there's still ongoing investigations. But we as Parliament can subpoena, this committee can ask the NPA and the asset forfeiture unit and the Hawks to come and explain what have they done with the existing evidence that has not been challenged, and that evidence factually, as we know, the public protector's findings are binding. That evidence is there. So that's one thing. We know that already the charges that have been laid. But our process is an inquiry process which is slightly separate, but there's nothing to prevent. And that is what I've said in Parliament continually. There's nothing to prevent our law enforcement agencies to act now on the overwhelming evidence that is before them and on this new evidence that they can apply for freezing assets, freezing bank accounts already. So that is something we can exercise oversight over those bodies, and it might be helpful to have a discussion with the chairman of the Justice Committee on these issues as well. Just to say, well, we are doing a process, but what is happening with the evidence that is already in the public domain, and that should be acted on. So, Chair, there's a lot we can do. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think, Honourable Members, we've got many options to take on these processes. Let us not fear what will happen if these people move out. I think with the evidence that is there in front of the Hawks, the NPA, and everybody else that is in the justice system, if we happen to lose this family,
going outside the country, they will have to answer to the committee, why did they let that happen? Because they knew they've got all the evidence in front of them to arrest anyone, but they did not do it. I think whatever comes from the committee will go back to them as the law enforcement agencies, because they have they have all the resources to take this any family to court or to arrest any family that is doing something wrong in the country, because they've got the evidence, as you have correctly said. So I think we need not to worry about that, but let us focus on what we want to achieve as this committee. The inquiry will lead us there, and we will, as the Honorable Shivambo has said, we will get to these people. We will recommend, and we will look at our recommendations. How are they taken by every department that we recommend to? And we will make a follow-up as the Committee of Public Enterprise on our recommendations. I think we don't need to, as much as we've got this information that we got, this new information that we have today, they also are listening to the committee, as the committee is carrying on today. They know exactly what is happening. So it's up to them as the law enforcement agency to do what is correct in the eyes of the country. Thank you very much for that.
That we will consult legally.
Yes, we will consult. Yes, we will consult. We will consult legally. We will consult legally, and we will come back to the committee. That is why I'm saying we will always call the committee members to come to a meeting to come and discuss this, because we must dispose of these discussions and get to the inquiry itself. Otherwise, we will be holding back everything if we don't start. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I don't think there is anything that is...
I want to just to suggest something that we might want to set up a multi-party caucus that we had with the ad hoc committee, so that in a short time that you might need to get us together, we might be able to have a multi-party caucus, such as discussing allocation of work or something like that going forward. It's something
it has been proposed that the multi-party task team that has been set up, if it needs more, it can be advised so to do so. We've got a legal person here who is listening on the legal issues that have been raised here. So I think we are fully secured now. Can I say thank you very much for the last time and say the meeting is adjourned? No member will raise his or her hand. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned. I'm saying it for the third time.